And welcome to a funky episode of Cam Metal.
What's up, y'all?
How's it going, Miles?
Fantastic, John. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. No one really
asked me. No one takes the time anymore, you know? That's what I've found. No one cares how I am.
I feel like you could just get through life better if you just have that understanding at a young age that no one really cares.
No one gives a goddamn. They're just doing it out of courtesy, just habit, really, at this point.
Like, if you have parents, they kind of have to care, but if it was up to them, they probably wouldn't.
Yeah. You ever notice when someone does actually, like, tell you when their day's not going well, when they don't give you that simple one or two word response that you're just annoyed?
Yeah.
Like, wow, I really didn't want to get into this.
Yeah, that really wasn't meant to have an answer per se, more of just common courtesy things.
And how are you doing today? Well, actually, oh fuck.
Yeah.
Fucking
let me
God.
Tell you. No, even if I'm having a shitty day and someone asks me how's my day going, it's fine. Just
it's exactly. I
you
just
don't
you know
care.
What? I'm going to save us both the drama and just say, "You know, it's fine. Thank you."
Could not be better.
Could, you know what? I think if it was going any better, I'd probably vomit.
Oh, you know, living the dream, right?
Living the dream. Working hard or hardly working.
Am I right? All right.
Jesus.
Well,
all right. So what are we doing? What are we doing today?
Today's episode is a long-awaited episode for me. I feel, well, for both of us, really. Today, main focus is going to be 12 Foot Ninja's new release, Outlier.
And this is easily probably my most anticipated album of the year, I would say.
Easily, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's been some hype for this for shoddy. It's got funk, it's got hooks, it's got everything.
Yeah, it's definitely a little more on the catchy side than Silent Machine, but we'll get into that a little later.
Yeah, we'll dive deeper into that here in a minute. But first, let's get right to the news. I think the first thing we need to talk about, because we didn't get a chance to talk about it last week, was the Dynamite new track from Metallica, Hardwired, off their upcoming release, Hardwired to Self-Destruct.
Yeah, I like how they actually, that's actually part of the title.
Hardwired... to Self-Destruct.
Like,
classic.
We get it. We know. Like, it's not even in parentheses, I don't think.
No, it's just Hardwired to Self-Destruct, which is a double album because that's what the world needs from Metallica right now. Two full discs of mediocre thrash.
So if you've been living under a rock and haven't heard the new track,
give you a little sample. Nothing but triplets before me.
Obviously very driving, you know, it's kind of got a little more balls than anything we've really seen come out from them in a while.
Yeah, if you go online, you'll see a bunch of people talk about how this is the first thrash, quote unquote, song Metallica's written since And Justice for All.
I don't know. Ultimately, I'm pretty mad on it. I feel like it's just a little too late for me.
I'm with you there. I mean, it's not bad. I'm not going to bash the song because it's not a bad song. It's a lazy song. Lyrically, it's lazy. Musically, it's lazy. There's like three riffs in this entire song. there's a verse, and I guess, is there even a chorus? Would you consider the Hardwired part a chorus or what?
Yeah,
we're so fucked, shit out of luck.
Yeah,
like
that's literally, it's the chorus. The chorus is like under 12 words long.
So I don't know. Riff wise, there's a lot of triplets.
Yeah,
whole lot of triplets going on. There's a guitar solo.
I feel
so. I mean,
kind of.
I mean, so it fits the quota for a Metallica song.
Yeah,
it's got triplets. It's got James Hetfield, and it's got a solo.
It does have James Hetfield cussing, though. So just
we're so fucked.
Just to show that they're still cool.
They're still edgy as hell.
Yeah.
No, that is probably my least favorite part of the song, though. We're so fucked. Shit out of luck. Come on, James. Like, you guys have had 8 years, 9 years. Couldn't take 15 minutes to write the lyrics?
Yeah. Did you watch, they put out that, like, not like 10-minute, like, kind of behind-the-scenes documentary, if you will, about writing the song? I don't know
about
if you
writing
saw that.
This one song.
This one song. It's from the infantile stages of writing all the way to like the final production of the song.
I feel like it probably took them 10 minutes to write the song. And did they need a 10-minute documentary for this?
Yeah. 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 It was basically just one solid shot.
So what was the inspiration behind the triplet?
Well, the actual riff, I don't know. I don't give a shit. But James does say that where the whole Hardwired self-destruct thing, he said he heard someone say it to him. That was his explanation. I'm not even joking. Like, he just mentions that, someone told me, we're hardwired to self-destruct.
And that's fucking nihilist and hip.
Like, what fucking
what
mean?
Is
mean like
James Hetfield just been browsing Reddit dank memes?
I want to see him like explain like what that means. Like what do you mean we're hardwired to self-destruct?
We're because we're machines, man. We're just robots slaving along, programmed to work, and hardwired to self-destruct, bro.
Exactly.
Okay, well, I didn't expect anything more, honestly. Like,
no, and it did actually exceed my expectations. It really did, because it's hand over fist better than Dicks of Summer.
Oh God, yeah, when that was like their big reveal,
yeah,
I was wow,
but like I feel like after that reveal, like fell so flat. That they would come back with this, and they're selling it off like double album, ba da 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 da. You know the driving heavy song, but yeah, it all kind of seems phoned in. I mean, if you watch the whole like behind the scene thing, I don't even want to call it a documentary, but it did look like they were trying more than it sounds. As bad as that sounds, like, you know what I mean?
As, hopeful as that sounds. Yeah.
Yeah. After watching it, I did have a little more respect for the song and for where they're at now, because at least if not, I mean, maybe it was just acting. I doubt that, but it just kind of showed them writing the song from the beginning to the end. And it showed you that there was some thought. It wasn't like 5 minutes of James, like sitting in a chair and working it out and then be like, yeah, let's do this. You know, it showed there was a little more to it than you would think, you know?
Okay. Well, so, I mean, if it kind of, I guess, portrays that their head's in the right place, I guess that's kind of cool.
Exactly, yeah. It showed that they were trying, and as true as that may be, you know, maybe it's still not what you wanted or, you know, were expecting, but at least it shows that they're trying. I mean, that may mean they need to pack it up, but and they'll never pack it up, but you know what
I mean at this point, like, this is as good as you're gonna get from
exactly,
new Metallica.
Exactly.
So
yeah, you either come to terms with this or just completely just turn your back, you know.
I wasn't disappointed by the song. It was more or less what I expected.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't know, I guess say what you will about that. It wasn't a whole lot, but
I don't know what that means, but yeah.
Oh, God. But so, yeah, there's that. New Metallica on the way. And it comes out fairly soon, right? November?
Yes. Yeah.
Just in time for Christmas.
Exactly. If that, if
get
that,
your significant
if
that's not
other. A, if that's not a,
the Hardwired to Self-Destruct box set.
If that's not a corporate thing, I don't know what it is. I mean, they're basically,
Dad,
they're
you,
basically just
Dad,
a corporate
what do you want
entity.
For Christmas?
Yeah. All the cool dads.
I will say the new album cover is pretty fucking sick.
Yeah.
I do have mad props for the album cover.
Yeah, and then I don't know if you've seen the footage of them playing it live for the first time in Minnesota. Like, they had that huge show in Minnesota for whatever. Oh, no, I think it was the, was it the, I think it's the first, excuse me, the first concert in the new Minnesota Vikings stadium, I think, is what the deal is.
Oh, okay.
Woo fucking who. But, they played it live there for the first time, and then they had it filmed, you know, professionally. And the visuals in the on the backdrops for their actual live set is all tied into that album cover, obviously. It's all in that same kind of realm, and it's really cool. It's really cool.
That's cool.
In the background.
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I've never, have you even seen Metallica live before?
No, I've never seen Metallica live. If the next time they come to California, I'm for sure going.
I know, and that's where I'm at too, is on this tour that, dude, they're talking about the tour lasting like almost 4 years or something ridiculous. I mean, how they toured for Death Magnetic for like 3.5. You know, I mean, there's breaks in between, you know, runs of the tour, but I mean, they were literally on the Death Magnetic tour for like 3.5 years.
4 more years.
No kidding.
Well,
no,
I don't
I really
know. I mean, I guess it gives everybody a chance to see Metallica. Because, I mean, realistically, after this album, I don't know if they're good. They might not put out anything else after this.
Even if they do, I can't imagine it's going to be up from here. You know what I mean?
if they're doing a double album and touring for 4 years,
yeah,
and there was 8 years in between Death Magnetic and this, like,
yeah,
what they would be like in their 60s by the time the next album came out.
Yeah, I mean,
and I mean,
they could, but I mean, like, AC/DC was still putting out music up until recently. Like, they just did that rocker bust. I can't even say it without like sounding daddish, but they just put that out not like in the past, like, you know, what, year or two, maybe three.
But I mean, recently? I would say Metallica, like, being in that kind of band is a little more demanding than,
yeah,
AC/DC,
which,
like,
is, yeah, which is, you're right, but
I mean, that's got to be a factor. I mean, they probably get real tired playing some of the older stuff now.
Well, I mean, yeah, they can't. they're getting to the point where they can't.
I want to hear Lars play one, the break from one.
Yeah,
now.
No. It's funny you bring up Lars. You know that we've talked about him before in the past. That Samus, 66 Samus, the drum guy from Decrepit Birth, the YouTube guy.
Oh, okay,
like, he's,
yeah,
the YouTube metal drummer guy. He mapped out, and you probably know more about this with, you know, me trying to explain it, but he mapped out because he wanted to play the song. He wanted to play Hardwired when it came out, but he couldn't find the timing signatures or whatever to it. And so he mapped them out himself. And it is just a clusterfuck of, like, he was like out, slowing down and speeding up, and like, It was just really funny to see
that. I would imagine that, yeah, like, Lars probably doesn't even play to a click track.
No, no.
Like, they a lot of that stuff they probably record live as a group and then kind of track over the rest of it.
Just whatever take is the best from Lars, they just run with that.
Just, God, it's going to have to work. He doesn't have it in him.
We have no other choice.
That's so bad, but I wouldn't expect anything more from Lars.
No, I think he has no idea.
And that's coming from a band who's so experienced. That's so unacceptable. Like, yeah, any musician who's been in a studio setting knows, like, the first thing you have to do, especially as the drummer, is play to a click track.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is the most important thing, because that is typically the foundation for every song.
Yeah, I mean, as uncool as it is, but if you don't naturally, if you can't naturally keep the time, you unfortunately have to do that. Like, you just got to do it.
Yeah, and if you want anyone else in the band to be able to play to what you're recording, you kind of need that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure the rest of them have just fucking adapted to whatever Lars is doing.
Yeah, I mean, it's just how it's been since the beginning.
It's like women who hang out and share their periods together. Metallica just kind of somehow finds the rhythm.
Okay, I guess I see where you're going with that.
You know,
it's an interesting,
analogy,
but that works. I get it.
It works.
I mean, I feel like they do get their periods. I don't know.
I feel like they do. I feel like their dicks have fallen off years ago.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going with that.
I picked up what you're throwing down.
But yeah, like I said, it's not bad. It's not. But I'm really interested to see what this double album is going to be like.
God. I can't imagine they're going to release a double album that keeps me interested.
No.
When they get through like the first three songs and be like, that's more than enough for me.
Unless the whole second disc is just audio of Lars smashing his face into the snare drum. for 45 minutes to an hour, hour and a half, I'd take.
And then like they just keep the microphone running as he like takes breaks to like wash his face and
maybe replace the drum skin drum head.
Oh Jesus.
And it has that tin snare sound.
Conk, 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 conk.
See, I'd buy that. I'd buy that heartbeat. I'd buy that on Blu-ray.
Fucking A.
So yeah, Metallica, check that out. Maybe.
Check it out. Yeah, I'm sure you have if you care about metal.
Yeah. I feel like another thing that has to be brought up is our boy, one and only Wes Scantlin.
Oh yeah, and anytime we can, we gotta mention our boy Wes. So what's the latest? Something involving a car bomb?
That sounds like that would be the case. Like, that sounds believable. Just the way you put it, that sounds somewhat
Wes
believable.
Wes Scantlin and a car bomb. Okay, yeah, I'm in.
Okay, yeah. So what happened? No. So actually, ironically enough, Wes really didn't do anything wrong this time.
I mean...
Okay, he may have been sketchy, but he didn't necessarily
do anything illegal.
He didn't go out of his way to impede someone's life per se. Apparently Wes decided to somehow rig up a do-it-yourself garage car alarm Apparently it involved a car radio that was installed under the car. I don't know, the details are a little bit hazy past that, but anyway, a neighbor saw him doing this and then proceeded to call the cops and the bomb squad.
Wes is at it again.
And basically called and said that they thought he was like rigging up a car bomb, which, like I said, mildly
was
believable.
Not that far fetched.
it turns out the SWAT team showed up and he just was rigging up some weird, sketchy car alarm that I don't even know how that would work. But
I don't feel like he is the one that would know the technology to make this happen.
I feel like that's why it involved a car radio, like zip tied under a car. Like I don't understand.
Feel like he watched Back to the Future and was like, wait a second. This is how science works.
This is easy. I just got to put a blender on the back of the car.
I got a blender.
Yeah, so, I feel like this was the product of like a 5-day bender.
Yeah,
like he wasn't too far into it to where he was like belligerent. Violent. Yeah, violent. Exactly. He wasn't violent, but he's just far enough into the bender that he felt like fucking with his car.
He's like, you know what? I'm tired of people getting in my garage. You know, if I can maybe link a radio frequency between my car and then the garage door opener, like maybe if someone opens up my garage door, my radio will start playing really loud, and then I'll know like someone's trying to get in my garage.
Yeah, that all seems like that could come from.
I feel like that was his process.
Yeah.
In the mind of Wes Scanlon.
I don't know if I...
60 Minutes with Wes Scanlon.
I'd only go into that mind if I knew for sure I could get, like the Matrix type shit. Like, if I wasn't sure I was going to be out alive, I probably wouldn't risk it.
Yeah, but it's one of those things, like, you get in there, there's a good chance you're not coming out.
You're not coming out of there. Yeah, so...
So, yeah, Wes Scanlon, that guy is... Always what in our hearts and minds.
What will he do next?
Wes Scanlon.
I feel like that would be a really good premise for like an internet cartoon. Just Wes Scanlon getting into various
shenanigans.
Oh, Wes.
Oh, Wes. What'd you do this time?
Just constantly calling. What's his name? Just constantly calling Jerry Cantrell. I need a gig.
I need work. You guys doing an Alice in Chains thing? We have a vocalist now. Please.
Just God, please.
Take me back.
Wes, we talked about this.
Jerry, they all left. Jerry, they all left. Puddle of mud left.
All the mud left. All the mud left. Just a puddle.
Just a puddle of man. Puddle of man.
That sounds like a really shitty like early 90s band. It really does.
Puddle of Man. Sounds like a really awful Puddle of Mud porn parody.
Oh no.
Oh man. Oh yeah.
About a sweet super group, Puddle of Creed.
Puddle of Creed. Oh no.
No.
Wait, no. Human mud.
That sounds like another porn parody that I don't want to see. It's just Scott Stapp shitting on Wes Scantlin.
I'd fap to that.
Anything's possible.
Hey, if both of those guys get desperate enough, I could see it. I could see it happening.
Yeah.
Oh, do we have anything else newsworthy?
Dave Lombardo.
Oh, Dave Lombardo.
Dave Lombardo.
He's on a kick right now to just fucking play with every punk band that still exists.
I think he has a plan of just slowly taking over the world, like obscure band by obscure band.
He's like, what old punk band that barely exists do I want to play in now?
I don't think you can go any farther back than this, but yeah, the Misfits have confirmed that Dave Lombardo will be in fact drumming for them for at least the two shows at Riot Fest, or for Riot Fest, I should say. It was already kind of a rumor that honestly made sense. I would be surprised if they didn't go with him. It just makes sense.
Yeah, he's doing it.
Yeah.
This just further proves the fact that he's just doing whatever the fuck he wants.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it makes sense, but at the same time, did I expect it? No. Not really.
Well, not before the rumors. Like, as soon as you hear the rumors, exactly. You're like, oh, okay, yeah. But no, I probably, yeah, exactly. Wouldn't have really put it together before that.
So that would be a sick lineup, though. The original Misfits, more or less, with Dave Lombardo.
Yeah. Yeah, so I can't wait for that to come out on them. You know, they'll record the shit out of it and Blu-ray and videotape the whole thing.
I'm just hoping that Danzig doesn't sound super tired.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Case in point. Oh yeah. No, I hope not.
I hope not. I hope it's good enough. I'm not expecting it to be great by any means.
Yeah, it's 60-year-old Danzig trying to redo Misfits, or, you know, go back to Misfits, you know, your hopes can't be too high if you're realistic. But I mean, at the same time, it's not like the vocals for that were very
good.
I mean, they're not
for lack of a better word.
Yeah, they're not asking for much. They're not difficult per se to pull off again. So, you know, he's got that going for him.
He's got that going.
Yeah, it's just as long as he doesn't NIB it, it should be fine.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I am stoked to see him in skull makeup again.
Oh yeah,
skull makeup. You know he has to do that.
Fishnets.
Yeah, the fishnet top thing.
Still rocking that. He should have retired it a few years ago,
just
but
man boobs pushing out of it. Just nipples just, just too much flesh for fishnets, in my opinion.
We're body shaming Danzig.
Once again.
Sorry, Danzig. It's okay. Just know that this podcast isn't your safe space.
No, there's a lot of triggering going on here.
Oh, God. I'm just imagining a wave of Danzig memes.
Danzig has been triggered.
Oh, God. So, yeah. And if you haven't watched or listened to Nativity in Black by Danzig, please do it. I'm sure the obscure, oh, yes, probably aren't funny if you haven't heard the song, but wow. He does not do that song justice.
He does not pull that off at all.
Do you have a clip? You need to pull it up. Let's save them the YouTube search and just pull it up. Yeah, it's off Danzig's Skeletons, which is an all covers album of just real. I would say it's the worst album I've listened to this year. By far. And I love Danzig, but Jesus, man.
Starts off strong.
Okay.
I want to isolate just that clip of him and just have it at the ready at any given time.
Just sample it into the fucking episodes randomly. Oh yeah!
Oh yeah! It does not help that he just looks like Sigourney Weaver. He looks like a really bad Sigourney Weaver. Does he not?
He absolutely does. He absolutely does. If you just Google Danzig Sigourney Weaver, there's 1,000 comparisons. Sigourney Weaver, me.
Did you hear the rumor though that he has a whole album's worth done of Elvis covers?
No, I don't want that to be real.
I don't know. I feel like that might be able to work. Are you looking at Sigourney Weaver memes?
I just found a meme of Hank Hill with the devil lock, and it says Bobby. Can I go out and grill today? No.
Danzig transcends all.
He transcends all mediums.
Can I go out and grill tonight?
Okay, anyway, I got to get off here. This is going to derail me completely.
Really going to sidetrack us. If you have no other...
Oh yeah!
Oh yeah! Actually, real quick, I wanted to talk about the new Knives Out album before we dive fully into Outlier. Yes. As you know, if you've listened to our podcast, John and I are big fans of Dark Fashion Disco, Polka Dot Cadaver,
whatever
and the other million spinoffs that Todd Smith and Jason Stepp. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jason Stepp do. So Knives Out is like a metal focused band featuring the two main guys from Dog Fashion Disco, the vocalist and guitar player. And it's also got some members of Hell Yeah and Nothing Face, which is kind of random.
The Hell Yeah, like, the Hell Yeah is weird.
So it's almost like a new metal super group.
I wouldn't go that far.
I wouldn't go that. It's all I said almost. They don't quite have the star power to call themselves.
Is there anybody with dreads? Does the Hell the only guy I don't know who it is the guy from Hell Yeah. Does he have dreads?
I don't think so.
A bonus if he has beard dreads.
Tom Maxwell. He's the guitar player for Hell Yeah.
I feel like he has some sort of dread. I don't know. Am I wrong?
We're gonna go ahead and assume he has one dread. Tom Maxwell has one dread, so that makes it a super group. but yeah, no, Knives Out, really awesome.
Since you've listened to it more than I have, do you have a song to pick off of that?
Left in the Lurch? Let's see here. What specific track? The opening track.
Let me see. Fuck My Way to Hell. That sounds pretty sweet.
Fuck My Way to Hell. So the opening track is the jam. I forget what it's called, though.
Deny Your Maker.
Yes, Deny Your Maker. Very anti-religious, all of their songs.
Oh, you think? Oh, I know. This Tom Maxwell guy, I know who he is.
Does he have one dread?
No, but he has the thick pencil beard that goes like down his jawline, and it's like obviously like dyed or like covered in mascara every day. It's like just super
okay,
black.
I know that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a very heavy focused Dog Fashion Disco.
It's still weird. So,
well, I think with his voice, I don't know. I just feel like everything they do, it still has that chord. Dog Fashion Disco kind of feel, just that weird. There may not be as many horns, but like the progression, everything's still kind of there.
Yeah, I agree. They've got a very signature dynamic.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it's been a good couple weeks if you're into weird metal.
Yeah, it really has.
I mean, if you haven't checked out Knives Out, I mean, if you haven't checked out Dog Fashion Disco, definitely do that. But if you're looking for something more straightforward, because I can understand people being kind of turned off by Dog Fashion Disco because they're all over the place, but fuck you guys. But if you're looking for something more straightforward, Knives Out is pretty sick.
Yeah, and the first album's really good too. From what
yeah, I've Black Mass Hysteria. I haven't listened to the new one enough to say, but the first album, it's only 9 tracks, but KBN. What good?
What?
What good?
I must have missed something here. What? KBM?
Just speaking Espanol, dog.
Oh.
Trying to diversify our podcast a little bit.
Yeah, that's not going to help.
That's not going to help.
That is just not going to do it.
All right, well, let's dive into the meat. Let's jump in and talk about Outlier.
Dive on the meat.
God.
New 12 Foot Ninja, finally.
Outlier. I know. It's been their last album came out in 2012, so it's been a minute.
So what are your initial thoughts?
Initially, I will say
staying broad.
staying very broad. Initially, my very first playthrough of this album, I got a very science era Incubus vibe from this album.
Okay, that's cool, because that's kind of what I felt a lot of Incubus, but not like, well, I mean, like right here, really.
Yeah. And I've heard that comparison before, so I don't really like to use it, but it is spot on.
It
like,
really
if you've
does.
Listened
it makes
to
sense.
Incubus when they were good, you'll know, like, Science. For me, that is my all-time favorite Incubus album. And this reminds me very much of that style, where it's got the straightforward funk kind of fusion, and then it goes into, like, heavy. I mean, djent wasn't a thing when Incubus was around, but I feel like it's got that dynamic, where it's got mm-hmm. the weird, funky fusion into the hard-hitting metal.
Yeah, it has its moments. I mean, this whole album is kind of, I mean, this band is kind of nothing but moments of music, if you understand what I'm saying. It's kind of just like a random patchwork. Like, not one song necessarily carries the same the whole way. Like, there will be random breaks of jazz or you know,
salsa.
I mean, yeah, so there's even some parts where it's just really full-blown just like songwriting, if you know what I mean. Like, it's not heavy at all. It's literally like they just go in like a genuine song. Like, if you're just a songwriter writing a song, they just have those kind of genuine moments as well.
One thing I really love about this album, just in a general sense, is that as I was listening it, like, the first few times you kind of recognize the song as a whole, you enjoy it, but then as you go through and listen to it again and again, you'll notice that, like, there are certain tracks and certain moments where every single instrument kind of stands out. Like, every single instrument, if you focus on it, can take the forefront. So, like, you could listen to the song one time and focus on the guitar, and you're like, oh, wow, that's a really cool guitar part. Go through it again, listen to the bass, and you're like, wow, I didn't realize what the bass was actually doing here. So it's really complex. At the same time, it's very accessible, which I really thought was cool.
Yeah, it's definitely an album that you can listen to over and over and over again, because there's so much depth to it that as long as you kind of focus your ear in a different spot, it can be a whole new song, if you will. You know, it's not just the same thing over and over.
There are so many layers to the songs that I didn't pick up on the first, like, even several listens, especially with the vocal harmonies. There is so much going on with the vocals. Like, Kin in this album, like, just fucking dominates.
Yeah, yeah.
The dude just destroys every single vocal track. And then on top of that, there are so many harmony layers going on behind it that you don't even really pick up on at first.
I mean, that's one of the reasons that I love these guys. So, one of the many reasons is because of how they harmonize and everything so well. And then Kin, like, on everything before Outlier, I thought he was a dynamite vocalist anyway.
Yeah.
And then with Outlier, with this album, it's like he's even better than where I thought was the best. You know, like, I didn't think he'd get any better because he's so good. And then, like, this album comes out, and I feel like this album is definitely more focused at acceptability. I feel like they still stay very true to their style and why we like them and why we're explaining how it goes off on weird kind of tangents, if you will. But I feel like the whole album as a whole is very much more approachable.
I totally agree. I feel like focused is like a perfect word to describe the approach of this album. Like, I love their last album, but this one, as like a general like metal fan, I feel like a wider group will accept it,
exactly.
Which I think is kind of what they were going for.
Yeah, and I think they have to.
I was reading an interview with Kin talking about kind of the approach with this album, and I actually didn't know this, but Rowan didn't really have anything to do with their last album.
That was the thing. I always tried to figure out the timeline on when he came in, because if you watch early videos and footage from Silent Machine era, he's not in all of it, and he's not in much until the end. So I didn't know what the deal was with him. But, yeah,
so basically, he came on towards the tail end, like after that album was released, and they started doing like videos and like playing a lot of shows. They wanted the supplemental guitar player. So he joined then, and then he was fully involved with the writing process of Outlier. So Ken was talking about how he had like a more focused approach than what they originally did with Silent Machine, which I guess kind of helped shape and make the album more accessible in a way, because it's still got like the off tempo stuff, and it's still got the fusion, and it's still got the transitions into other genres. But Ken was just saying that Rowan as a guitar player was, I don't want to say more straightforward, but the word he used was focused, more focused.
Yeah, he basically kind of wrangled him in, essentially.
So they're still able to go out and do weird things, and they're still able to transition that into heavy music, but it wasn't, I guess, as all over the place, which I personally didn't have a problem with it, but I could see the average listener again.
Exactly.
This,
yeah.
This is too weird.
Yeah. It was never a complaint with us and for any fan of theirs, I'm sure. But yeah, like I feel like they were able to kind of have a little more focus and be a little more straightforward, but they didn't lose. I don't feel like they lost anything that I thought they were from, say, you know, Silent Machine and earlier. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. They totally ditched this to kind of get more play. Like, I feel like they didn't cut anything out for the sake of trying to be more acceptable, you know?
Yeah, like, I feel like they didn't have to compromise their vibe or their sound, which I really thought was cool. They were able to basically shape their weirdness into something that works on a grander scale, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like Ken was saying, like, basically Rowan came in and kind of took what they were and just kind of, like, tightened it up, essentially. Like, they kind of just it sounds like he just kind of helped tidy up and, like, kind of put this more in kind of the same, stay in the same area. I don't know. It works.
Yeah, it works. No, it works really well. Like, at first, when my very first playthrough of this album, I was like, well, this is less weird than I was expecting.
Yeah.
But, and then as I listened to it over and over again, I was like, okay, no, you know what? Actually, they're still keeping it weird. They're still keeping it weird enough. And weird with this band is a very good thing. Like, I want it weird.
Weird is kind of their bread and butter. For them to do a song like, let's say, I'm trying to think of a good one. Like Sick. Like, that's probably one of their more straightforward songs on the album. Like, it doesn't go off on too many weird areas. But they can do a song like Sick, and then they can do a song like Monsoon. Like,
yeah.
Monsoon's not my favorite song on the album, but it's like probably the one I'll probably most talk about is like showing like just what they can do.
It comes at a good point in the album. Like, that song, like, yeah, like you said, it isn't my favorite, but it just, where it comes down the album is perfect.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just such a good song. Like, I want to see this song live so bad, because I feel like this would be such an exciting song to see live. Like, because they integrate the whole Bollywood feel. Like, I mean, that they're obviously not trying to mask in any way. I mean, that's what they're doing. And, like, the whole Bollywood feel is supposed to be that exciting dance, you know. It's supposed to get that out of you, and I feel like it really does.
Yeah, I totally agree. And this is another song where it kind of, like, I guess kind of like Invincible, where you have the heavy break and then the verse itself is kind of mellow in comparison.
Mm-hmm. But, like, the riffs on this album are so... It kind of ties in with what we're talking about. Like, it's a little more approachable, but they're still so cool and so groovy and so very signature-y, you know?
I love how memorable the riffs are in this album.
Yeah.
Like, they're able to make it heavy, but memorable, which a lot of bands can't do. Like, it's easy to make something quote-unquote heavy, but how do you make yourself stand out from the others?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing I feel like they really nailed on this album, is every single song has a riff that you will remember and a riff that will get stuck in your head. And they also found a way to make, I hate to use this, but nu metal.
No.
There's a very nu metal vibe on this album.
There is.
But not in a bad way.
Yeah, and I mean, that kind of goes back to what we were talking about when we were first started talking about 12 Foot Ninja, is they have a feel that you, if you should, you feel like you shouldn't like. Like, to be brutally honest, like, I feel like I shouldn't
like this. Kind of sounds like a Limp Bizkit riff.
Yeah, but like we were saying, like, they took like the best of all that stuff, the what little good was in all that stuff, and brought it to the top, you know. And kind of going with like that, a statement that you don't want to say it. I feel like this is, unfortunately, I feel like this is going to get embraced by like the Five Finger Death Punch crowd. I really do.
Don't say that.
I know.
You're taking it too far.
I know.
taking it too far.
But I mean, if you listen to it with a different ear, if you just look at it at a very face value look and sound, I could totally see like that type of crowd being really into it and not even
exactly. You know, they have songs like you said, Sick, mm-hmm, or Invincible, even, where like those are very accessible songs. Mm-hmm. So someone who doesn't really understand or like know the history of 12 Foot Ninja, they could see that song and kind of just take it at face value and be like, oh, this is fucking sick. Fucking sick.
And even for all the other songs, when they go into like a weird different genre break, whatever you want to call it, I feel like they would just tune out at that part and then tune right back in when like the main song came back in. So like, yeah, they would like 12 Foot Ninja for, I don't want to say the wrong reasons, but like for
they would
all,
like
for not the
12
reasons
Ninja
that,
for the parts they're comfortable with.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, which I mean, I feel like it's kind of like the Volbeat scenario. Like, Volbeat used to be very weird, if you were. They had their own style, much like, not like 12 Foot Ninja, but in the vein, like, they were very, they had their own identity that wasn't really around at the time, you know, with their kind of psychobilly callback, if you want to call it, like, punk, whatever you want to call it. And then, basically, that got grabbed by all the wrong people, and then once they saw those people that were starting they saw what their fan base was turning into, and then they ran with it, is really how I feel. And I feel like that it can happen with someone like 12 Foot Ninja. Like this album is, can be grabbed up by the wrong people. I just hope they don't like kind of, you know, write for those people, say, on the next album.
And I don't feel like that's a problem this band will have.
No,
because they've made it very apparent that they are writing for themselves. Mm-hmm. And like, if it doesn't work out, then okay, we all have jobs we can go back to, and fuck it, we gave it a goddamn good try. But I see what you mean. Like, but at the same time, with a band like this that doesn't really have major label support and are doing things all independently, I want more and more people to listen to them. Like, I don't necessarily care who's listening to them. I just want more people to know this band and listen to this band and support this band.
Yeah, that's the double-edged sword with it. That was how it was kind of when I found Volbeat, when no one, not to be like a hipster douche, but you know what I mean? Like,
but you're going to be.
But I'm going to be. When I started listening to them, no one knew who the fuck they were. And they thought they sucked because they were weird and because it was kind of like, was you trying to be Elvis, you know? And then, yeah, like at that point, you're like, oh, you know, you guys really need to listen to these guys. Like, these guys are good. I want, you know, you want the band to thrive and survive and grow. And then, like I said, with the double-edged sword, all of a sudden now they're on tour with like terrible bands. But
and then it reaches that like critical point where it reaches the top peak of like, who needs to listen to them? Who should be listening to them? And then it just kind of goes on to a downhill slope of these people shouldn't be listening to them.
Yeah, and exactly.
But I mean, I guess if we're going to be idealistic fucking hosers, we can just say, you know, it's the music that unites us all together, man. And we can all share that experience regardless of our background. And
no, I don't need to share any moments with anybody that wears like a Five Finger Death Punch shirt. Or jersey.
Jesus. Yeah, that's where I have to draw the line. Like,
I mean, I'm just saying, like, just mark my words now, because this album is gonna take off. and I know it's what's going to happen is it's going to take off in the wrong area. I don't think 12 and Ninja is going to sell out or anything by any means, but I feel like you can see them on the Jaeger tour next year type of thing.
Oh, fuck it. I'd go.
But which is good. I mean, that's good. Like you said, you want these guys to start making real money for the music, since it is music worth receiving money. You know what I mean? Like these guys, anybody deserves to live off of their music and live well. Yeah.
And like that interview with Stevic that we listened to, where it's like, this album here is like the make or break album. If this album doesn't do well for them, if they can't financially support themselves after this album, this is it. This will be the last album that they do. It's been made perfectly clear that this, if this doesn't work, that's all we got.
Yeah, and that's where I was really not nervous, but one, I was just excited to listen to the album because I wanted, I'm excited for the album. But also, I wanted to hear the album and be like, knowing what Stevic and all them have said in the past, okay, what is this album going to be? And if I listen to it, am I going to think, yes, this is the step that they're going to go somewhere with this, or did they write a good album, but I'm not sure if it's going to be received very well. And this album, I feel like, is going to get received by a much more broader audience.
Yeah, and that's kind of, it's like, as like a legit serious fan invested in the band, like, yeah, you go into this album nervous because you're like, I love their music. I want these guys to keep creating music. But if this doesn't sound like something more people are going to want to listen to, they won't. This will be it. And like we've talked about, this album, I feel like accessible gets a bad rap. Like, I feel like when you use that adjective, people are turned off. Or I should say elitist metal fucking pricks are turned off.
Yeah.
But accessible in no way is bad. This band has always been, I felt, somewhat accessible because it's mostly clean vocals.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big roadblock most of the time.
But even though the vocals are clean and there's not necessarily a lot of screaming, they still manage to write super fucking heavy music.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need to play Collateral, the intro to Collateral. See, because this right here is one of the hardest hitting songs on the album by far.
And see, this is my top favorite song for song wise and lyric wise. Like, Ken just, in my opinion, kills it on this song. Probably,
yeah,
like,
kills it. My favorite lyrics on the whole album by far.
Yeah, exactly.
Right here, super new metal vibe. And it's super cool.
The deal is fixed. The cards are cut. All of the heathens here are drinking from the cup. This crooked game is not a luck. Digging down.
Still keeping that cool Eastern vibe going in the background the entire time, which I love.
And all God's children could give a fuck.
Yeah, this is like, in my opinion, it's my favorite song off the whole album for sure. And I feel like it's the strongest song on the album in general. I mean,
it's strong. There's no denying that this is definitely one of the best songs on the album. Yeah. I feel like this is one of the best written songs, like lyrically and musically.
Mm-hmm.
And it just goes in so many cool directions. And that fucking riff is so goddamn memorable.
And I love the lyric, and all God's children could give a fuck. Like, I just think that just sounds so cool.
And that's another thing. Like, when I show this band to people initially, like their last album, Silent Machine, I had a lot of people ask, are these guys Christian? And I don't know, like, what or why I got that question a lot.
Really?
And I want to say it's because of the song Mother Sky, but I don't know, like, I had four or five different people that I showed this band to ask, are these guys Christian? Is this a Christian band? Yeah, and I don't know. Like, I don't know where that comes from. This has never been a band to announce that they were a quote-unquote Christian band.
Well, I mean, their lyrical content has nothing to do with it. It is spiritual in the way that, like, it kind of is heavy, like, in the spiritual Asian. I don't know the correct word for that, but this part I love the best. I love how it just like kicks in there and like almost kind of scares you. Like,
it's like really soft for a couple seconds, and then mid verse,
boom, right? Yeah, this was the whole mid verse, the whole thing just being off time being off time, but it's sounding better for it. Like, that's like case in point right there. Like,
so it comes in on like the upbeat, so you're expecting something else, and then shit, here it is.
Yeah. But I don't know. I can understand why someone might think or have the question of the whole religious thing. Just
I could see it. I don't know what it was, but yeah, very spiritual lyrics talking about like otherworldly forces at times, I guess.
Yeah, but it's more of like a
Gaia,
like an Asian, like it's more of like an Asian lore. Like there's a mythology. Yeah, exactly,
because their whole comic,
the whole thing is, yeah, their whole theme is the 12-foot ninja and everything that has to do with ninja
and his like pursuit style, and all that.
Like, yeah. So
Collateral fucking rips. I love Oxygen too.
Oxygen,
like, I didn't care for it because like it's kind of slow, it's kind of soft, a little weird.
That was originally my first, like, as going down the list, like the first time I listened to it, when I heard this song, I was like, oh man, I think this might be my favorite song. You know, listening to it first time through, and then right after that, Collateral came. I'm like, oh no, sorry, Oxygen.
No, sorry.
But no, Oxygen. This is another good case in point song of how it can travel so many different ways, and how they
I love
can
this
write
one, it's
a,
got like a.
Go ahead.
Oh, a very Faith No More vibe to it vocally.
I was saying those harmonies, like those harmonies make this band, like, but it's another one of those things where it's like not one thing makes the band. Like, oh, Ken has Ken's an amazing vocalist.
I love his vocals,
but that's not the only reason why the band is so good. Like, Stevic in his songwriting, his production, like, he's, you know, but he's not the only reason why they're so good. I mean, their bassist is insane to have to keep up with all of this. You know, and help drive it. You know,
Shane, the drummer, to keep up with all these like syncopated rhythms.
Yeah, like and then changing rhythms and changing styles like on the fly.
That's what I love about this band is every single fucking musician in this band is a master of their craft. Exactly. They all know exactly what they're doing, and you have to know exactly what you're doing to be able to transition between genres like this so fluidly.
Yeah, like in the same song.
Yeah, in the same song. Another reason Oxygen fucking rips is because it has a beautiful jazz piano break and a beautiful jazz guitar solo.
Yeah, it's funny.
Like they both just kind of come out of nowhere, but you're like, God damn, those were perfect.
It's so nice. Yeah, it's so good. Like I put the album on just the other day when we were painting, and my wife knows of 12-Foot Ninja, but not listening as intently as I am. We're painting. She goes, this really goes into some weird jazzy parts a lot. And I go, yeah, that's kind of their thing, is to just drop into these beautiful like songs.
That is some clean playing right there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They could just write songs like that and they'd be amazing. Like, to be able to write something so calm and beautiful and then write some, like, just crazy, crazy, deep, dark, heavy shit.
For me, it's important to have metal you can sing to.
Yeah, I mean, there are times where you just want to hear just, like, aborted, like, just aggressive,
just
ridiculous,
I want someone to scream
visceral,
in my
like, I, yeah, like, yeah, just tell me how much the world sucks. But I mean, yeah, there's something with us with there's to keep that same kind of music style, but then be able to sing along with it, be able to have these beautiful melodies, you know, I mean, there's something to that. And some guy, you know, some elitist pricks might say, well, then that's not metal. Yeah. That's pussy shit. Like, no, I mean, it's about the musicianship, and I feel like that can be more showcased in something like this, where it is more kind of clean, if you will.
Clean, yeah.
And I mean, clean's not a bad thing. On a general standpoint,
it gets such a bad rap from the metal community, which is why the metal community in general is kind of just fucking awful.
Well, but, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's a whole nother conversation. It's just the metal community in general, but I feel like everybody's elitist.
Everyone's
elitist.
They want to admit it or not.
Obviously, we cannot stand Five Finger Death Punch. You know, just garbage like that. Butcher Babies, which we had a whole episode on how much they suck, which oddly got a lot of
traffic,
traction. Probably for the wrong reasons, but but I mean that's an elitist outlook, and it really is, and I get it.
I don't feel like it is
because that music is garbage now. Because
that music is dog shit. Your opinion is fucking garbage if you think that's a band anyone should listen to.
You know, so.
Or when people play pop radio country for me, I'm just like, Jesus. Like, I'll just break it apart in their face. Like, how simple the song structure is, how simple the lyrics are, how repetitive it is. And they're just like, God, you're a dick. What do you listen to? 12 Foot Ninja? What the fuck is that? It sounds stupid.
No, I love tearing up because unfortunately my wife does listen to that stuff. Among good music, but she does listen to that as well. And I'll just the same thing, I'll just tear it apart, you know, like how the last three songs we've heard have mentioned a cold beer. You know, and every song has mentioned a truck. Like, I was like, come on, like, try a little harder, guys.
Okay, three topics will cover any country song. Small hometown, ice cold beers, making out in high school.
Don't forget the dirt road.
Don't
forget them jeans. They always say them. You got them. Have you seen, off topic, but... you know Bo Burnham, the comedian Bo Burnham? He has a new special on Netflix, and it sounds like I'm plugging it, but
Bo Burnham, a new comedy special exclusively on Netflix.
It's what's it called?
Is it just called Happy or something?
Make
like
Happy
that?
Or something to do with that. But he has a whole bit, and like in this special, he's integrated a lot of lights and audio cues, and it's a whole show. It's not just stand up whatsoever. And he has a whole bit where he makes fun of exactly what we're talking about, how pop country is just predictable and garbage and corporate. And he does this whole song with it, and it's a piece of art. It's hilarious, and I look at it almost like a piece of art, how he's just tearing it apart and just showing everyone how they're just complete idiots for listening to it. It's hilarious. You have to check it out.
I'll definitely check that out. That sounds like something I'd be all about. Because that's what I do. Every time I listen to a song, like a pop country, I can't just listen to it. I'm just like deconstructing it in my mind. I'm like, this is dog shit.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing genuine about this song. This song was written by probably 20 dudes in a studio, similar to any Beyonce song. And yet these hometown fucking people are just eating it up like it's the story of this person's life.
Yeah.
And then you get these fun facts. Like if you watch like the... I was helping a buddy move and his wife was playing that in the background. And that choice music or whatever like that plays the songs. On the TV. And it has the fun facts. And I'm going through and every fun fact about these artists was the most dull on interesting bullshit in the world. Luke Bryan's favorite color is green. Jason Graham played football growing up. There is nothing difficult about their lives. There's nothing interesting about these people's lives.
Because they're just a speaker.
They're a good looking face.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah. Anyway, way off topic.
Took a hard left, but we're coming back.
If you like country,
just turn this off right now.
Just turn this off. And I hate to do that. I hate to like exclude genres specifically. So I'll specify. If you like pop country,
Florida Georgia Line.
If you like pop country, go fuck yourself.
You go fuck yourself. Seriously, I don't think there's like one artist or group that I resent more than Florida Georgia Line.
You don't think there is?
No, I don't think there. I mean, try.
I can't think of one. I can't.
I mean, like, as far as just people, like, I mean, Hitler's like a little above them, but like not by much. It's not the space between Hitler and Florida Georgia Line is not as wide as you would think it would be. Let me just say that.
Yeah. Anyway, and that's like, again, like the same reason like Shannon gets annoyed when we go see movies, because I'm the same way with movies. Like, we'll see like your average just commercial. Like, this was a blockbuster I made specifically for the purpose of making money.
Yeah.
And I'll like get done. She's like, oh wow, I like that. That was fun. And I'm like,
They got
well,
you.
Let me tell you how I feel for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And she's like, why can't you just watch a movie? I'm like, no. That's not why I came here.
It's funny because we have the same conversations here in this household. Why can't you just leave it alone? What I love to do is take the stupid pop country songs and then just sing them, but like change words with like butt sex and just like just stupid things to just make them even dumber, to
even
where I'll
dumber.
Ruin them for my wife, which is just absolutely hilarious. Because now there's like Luke, yeah, like, say like Luke Bryant and all them, that she can't listen to certain songs because she hears,
also thinks it was
she
butt
hears
sex.
She hears the lyrics that I put into it. Yeah, so maybe we should do like some Weird Al type thing, but just
only just change specific words and make them disgusting.
I mean, just rip apart just awful, awful pop country songs.
Yeah, maybe that slowly but surely we can deconstruct the system from the inside out. We'd be heroes.
It's going to take a lot more than us. But
it's going to take a lot more than us.
Trust me, we are not the only people with this point of view, and they're not hurting at all.
Not one bit.
Anyway, back to good
back
music.
To Outlier.
I
guess what's your runner up, because you've made it clear that Collateral is your number one track.
Collateral, I mean, after that, it's tough. I mean, there's some songs like I are like more of my least favorites, but like there's not one song I don't like on here. Probably my next one would be Adios. I feel like that's a really cool song, has a really cool feel. Once again, like Ken just kills it.
Ken kills it. They got a very Alice in Chainsy vibe.
Yes, very song,
which
ominous.
I like. I feel like this is one of the more fun songs on the album, I guess. Yeah.
Well, it even goes into like a bungly, like circus, almost like it's not super obvious with that, but it has that up and down feel that
Yeah.
This is my life.
Very Anthony Chorus
of them. I'm saying, man, like this harmonies just fucking kill it.
Part time egotist, full time narcissist. Yeah, no, that's a good fucking track. I would say, I don't know, I really like Postmortem. I don't know what
that's
specifically
another good
one. It is
that's,
about
that's
that
another,
track.
That's another one that breaks out into a. This one has more of a jazzy feel in the middle,
yeah,
too. Yeah,
right? And I love the just driving beat of this one.
This is another song I feel like if you change the tuning a little bit, it could totally be a track, like a throwaway track from Incubus. Not throwaway, but I mean like a lost track from, say, Incubus.
Exactly. Very Science Era Incubus.
Yeah.
Again, this is another track that I feel like has really strong lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
Very nihilist.
I did, yeah, exactly. I did notice on this album, though, they did kind of shy away from, like, really pounding in the whole... I mean, what am I trying... You know, what is the ninja vibe? I mean, without the...
And, you know, yeah, exactly. The art of songs, like, titled Shuriken or anything like that.
Yeah,
So that's... And that's... I mean, I get it. That's kind of their thing. But I feel like, again, that was another thing that, just from a general perspective, someone who doesn't know the band would look at that and say, that's fucking corny.
Mm-hmm.
Ninja related? Nope, I'm good.
Yeah. The one song I don't necessarily care too much about would be Dig for Bones, the last track.
I felt that way at first. Like, I gave that song a few more listens, and now I really dig it.
Really? I feel like...
Again, this is very Incubus-y.
Yeah.
I just really like the chorus on this song.
I don't know. I feel like they kind of closed the album on it kind of... Now, I don't want to say a dud, but, like...
I think this song starts slow and kind of just ramps up. Yeah. I feel like it closes strong towards the end. But I agree. At first, I was like, I didn't really like the vibe of the song. But it, as a song on the album, I really like it because it's so much different than everything else.
Yeah. I don't know, but. I mean, this album, like, literally, like, it just, I don't know. I mean, I had high expectations, and I feel like it still was better than what I even was expecting it to be.
Yeah.
Because it does kind of go in a different direction than I thought it was gonna. I thought it was gonna be kind of like Silent Machine, but, like, more like that. And it was actually kind of, I don't want to say quite the contrary, but it kind of went in a different direction, but it's still really good for it.
Yeah, I liked how weird Silent Machine was, but I do like that this is more straightforward to a certain degree, because it's something like, again, you and I love the band, but I feel like this is an album I could, like, show friends and we could, like, jam out together.
Oh yeah, easily. Yeah. Like I said, it's more approachable, and that's not a bad thing at all. I mean, that's a good thing for them. I feel like that's what they were trying to accomplish.
Yeah,
and it's one of the few times that I can think of where a band maybe tries to kind of broaden their horizon to be a little more approachable, but didn't lose any identity in the process.
No, they still are one of the weirdest and most unique metal bands out there right now. So.
And most talented
by far. One thing I was surprised by was the length of this album. It was short. Like a lot shorter than I expected. And I was reading another interview with Ken talking about how they had so many songs written and they were talking about doing like a double or even like jokingly a triple album, like just releasing this retarded discography of songs. But then they're like, you know what? No, we're going to pick 10. We're going to limit ourselves to 10 songs. We're going to write the 10 best songs that we possibly can, and that's it. So, and that's what they did. So they just picked at the time the 10 best songs that they could come up with. So he said a lot of stuff didn't make the cut, and he said potentially it's something that could resurface later on because they were happy with some of the other songs, but they really wanted to just make sure what they were releasing was the best that they could do.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, there's a lot riding on this album. You know, it's the first album to come out after everyone started kind of knowing who they were. So I feel like, yeah, it was probably a good choice. A shorter album, and with what they did with it, I think it's going to go far. I would love to see a fucking triple album, though. That would be insane. I think it would get a lot of attention, but at what point, I mean, those songs have got to start getting diluted. I mean,
exactly. I mean, you can't write 30. I don't care who you are. You can't write that many good songs.
You can't write 36 songs within a year or so and have them all like be good. That's just impossible. I mean, yeah. So as cool as that would be, I feel like obviously
this was the best move to like grow the band.
Yeah. I mean, I know a tour's got to come out of this.
Oh yeah, no, they're doing I think a UK tour first.
Yeah, but they're not headlining.
There's US tour dates too.
Is there?
There's nothing on our side of the states though, unfortunately. Nothing in California, nothing in Washington. They're starting in like the middle of the country for some reason.
I feel like the Midwest is not where this band needs to be. Like they need to be on our side of the states. That's where this shit is going to be.
This is where
it's going to work.
As a band, like trying to grow in the U.S., like how do you not play in California? Like,
yeah.
Not to sound like a douchebag, but
no, I mean that's just true. I mean that's just.
I get that it's out of the way, like it's way off to one side, but. Come on now.
It's just where you want to be if you're trying to, if you're in entertainment in any sense of the word.
Yeah.
It's where you want to be.
So I was really bummed when I looked at the US tour dates, and I'm hoping they do a second leg of it. Like
they have to. I mean, they
have to. I mean, they don't have to, but they fucking better.
Yeah. And I think, like I said, this is more of a, like, this first leg is like a feeler. Like, this is what's going on. Because they're just headlining it, right? They are headlining it? Okay.
Because they had a few select shows with, like, Disturbed or something.
But, yeah.
But that was in
Wisconsin,
Australia.
Wisconsin, Oklahoma, Texas, Arkansas. Like, that's not Ohio. That's not where these guys need to be. Tennessee. Like, this is just insane. Like, why would you want to be down? Why would you want to be there?
I mean, maybe they have a follow. I'm sure there's, anywhere you go, they have a following. But yeah, make your way over to the west side. So yeah, I don't know. I'm hoping beyond hope that they come out here because this is a band I absolutely need to see live.
Yeah.
You know what they need to fucking do that would just blow some dicks off is they need to line up a tour with Baby Metal.
Yeah.
God, 12 Foot Ninja and Baby Metal.
Who was I just seeing that is doing a show with Baby Metal that made no fucking sense?
Red Hot Chili Peppers is doing an entire tour in the UK.
Tour? Yeah,
which, why can't that come here? I would go to Red Hot Chili Peppers / Baby Metal in a heartbeat. But it's like 20 shows in the UK.
Yeah, that's just such an odd pairing.
Such an odd pairing. But you know what? I'd be down.
I mean, I'd go as long as the tickets aren't absolutely insane.
I'm sure they're absurd. I'm sure that $100.
I don't even really care about Red Hot Chili Peppers anymore. I can't imagine they play a lot of old stuff.
I can't imagine really.
I mean, that new album really fell short for me, in my opinion.
No, I totally agree. Like Dark Necessities, when I heard the single, I was like, all right, cool. I'm digging it. But then everything else was like, ooh. Okay.
Yeah.
But I honestly did really like their when they first came out with I'm With You, when they first had the new guitar player, I felt like that album was pretty strong.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm in the minority, I think, there.
Yeah.
But I have better taste in music than most people, so that's fine.
All right, that's fine. You can say that. Outlier.
Check it out. Like, Jesus, I don't know how many times we need to tell you people to check out 12 Foot Ninja before we actually do it.
I do need to get in contact with them because they sent me, I've had that CD pre-ordered for probably over a year. Or whenever they first opened up the whole Pledge Music thing, I was right there. And I bought a signed copy of the CD, and I received the CD today, but you know, I got the digital download like, you know, the day before or like last Thursday, and been waiting for the CD for one sole reason, just because it's signed. I already have the music, and I got it. It's not even signed. So, so I have to, my people, our people, have to get in touch with their people. It's a big ordeal, but
What needs to happen is that they either need to fly out here and sign it or jump on an episode of the podcast and bullshit.
Yeah.
Those are your only options. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to keep us as fans, I mean, that's really all it is. That's you lose us, you're going to lose a lot of fans. Boycott Troll Foot Ninja. No, I never do that. I don't even want to joke about it.
I don't even want to joke about it.
That scared me. I don't want to joke about it.
Sorry. I take it back. No.
But yeah, I mean, like I said, there's really not much else we can say other than that this is probably going to be the best album of the year. Metallica could suck my dick.
So far, this is for me. Did Cattle Decap, their album, come out this year?
No, that was last year.
Was that okay? Yeah,
that was the end of last year.
Then, yes. Then right now, this is by far my favorite album of the year.
The Depression Sessions we were just talking about the other episode is really good, but I mean,
it's got a lot of covers, so I don't.
Yeah,
really
it
count.
Doesn't really count. I'm just saying, like the first thing that comes to mind as far as good music that's came out this year, that's the only thing that instantly.
Megadeth, bro. Duh.
Was that the beginning of this year?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Dave's been pissing me off lately, so.
God, his Twitter's a fucking cesspool. God. I just want to punch him every time he posts anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dave Mustaine on Twitter. If you want to just.
Be mad.
Yeah, like if you want to
be real mad, check it out. But yeah, before we go, I want to mention thank you for anybody that has found us from the Michael Williams episode interview. Hopefully you're checking out episodes after that. Thank you to anyone who shared it and all that jazz. Thanks again to Mike Williams. Just share that shit.
Typical, here comes the spam at the end of the podcast.
Of course.
Make sure you fucking go on all of our social media and shit, Facebook and Twitter and
iTunes. We got to get on Spotify is doing podcasts now. We got to look into getting on there
because that shit. But yeah, no, thanks for listening. If you made it this far, then obviously. Yeah.
If we're
interesting enough to fucking listen to, or you just hate your life.
If you found us from the Agony Scene episode, hopefully you don't. I mean, going from Agony Scene to 12 Foot Ninja, there might be a divide there. I'm not sure, but hopefully maybe you found these guys. And you're like, hey, these guys are hella cool.
Yeah, hopefully we opened your eyes to some new music, because we all need to find something new.
Mm-hmm. It's tough.
Otherwise, we'd be listening to All That Remains and
Nickelback
until the end of time.
Did you see the Nickelback covered Don Henley's Dirty Laundry?
Yeah, I didn't listen to it because I didn't want to fucking thumb my ears out.
It's terrible. Well, I mean, like
Dirty Laundry. I hate the original. Like,
I don't mind the original. I like me some Don Henley and the Eagles. I'm sorry.
Don Henley's a prick.
I will not apologize.
Hey, I'll get down on some Boys of Summer, but
see, like that's a song I don't even care. Like, I don't like that. I don't know how you cannot like Dirty Laundry, but like Boys of Summer.
I don't know. But I mostly like the Atari's version.
Ugh, God, that's what I couldn't remember. I thought it was Switchfoot, but yeah, it's Atari's. The Atari's that did it.
Their one hit was not even their own song.
Yeah. But yeah, so I think with all that said, I think we're going to close this one up.
Yeah, let's shut this shit down.
Follow us and all that jazz, and we will talk to you. next week.
This has been another exciting episode of Camp Metal. And the stars. Oh, yeah.